Okay, so we're doing it's the Rashba and the Gemara on Yudam and Beis and Brachos. So if you happen to have the Rashba, it's on page Chaf Dalet in the book. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, Hamaspalal Tzorech Sheyichav Enes Raglav. So when a person davens, they have to have their feet straight together, you know? Put your feet together. Stand with your feet together. Right there. That's during Shemon Esrei, that is. And usually Mispala refers to Shemon Esrei. Tefillah in general, like the mitzvah of Tefillah. Tefillah is primarily Shemon Esrei. Other things are like introductions to Tefillah or whatever. But Tefillah usually refers to Shemon Esrei itself. So when you daven Shemon Esrei, you should have to have your feet together. Shneamar v'raglehem regal yishara. So in Mayan Nevuah and Yechezkel, where it describes the Malachim, so it says their feet are straight. And their feet was a straight foot. Okay? Okay, so that's the Gemara. So what questions, if you analyze this Gemara, what questions should one raise in trying to understand the Gemara?
I mean, we said that standing to be straight, that's like Malachim, right? But why are we trying to imitate the Malachim?
Okay, good. So that's one question is...
Can achieve to be or anything.
Good, okay. So one question is, why are we trying to imitate Malachim? Right? That's one question, right. What's the, okay, fine. So Malachim have straight feet. So why are we trying to pretend like we're Malachim? Well, we're not Malachim. We're people. Okay, good. What other question should we ask?
Also, maybe if we are trying to imitate Malachim for whatever reason, why do we choose that quality of them to imitate?
Okay, you mean, what's that idea? There's a lot of things you could try to pick. We could somehow try to make wings or something. But, I mean, you could just say
understanding Malachim either, but what does it mean that they have... does that even mean that they have...
Okay, good. So good. That's a good question. Is what does it mean to say that Malachim have straight feet? Right, what does that mean? Right, I mean, they're depicted in the Mayan Nevuah. I mean, Malachim presumably aren't physical beings, but in the vision which the Chazkel saw, the Nevuah would try to convey to him different ideas. So in the vision, they were depicted with straight feet. So what idea does that reflect? Whereas every idea in these Nevuahs reflects different ideas in every facet of the Nevuah. Like, I think, different ideas. So the question is, what's the point of saying they have straight feet? And they don't actually have a physical form like that, so it must be that there's an idea that it's pointing to. So what's the idea that they have straight feet? And then, why are we trying to copy that idea? What idea does that reflect that we want to imitate that, right? Must be there's some idea about the Malachim and their feet straight, such that that's appropriate for us to incorporate into our tefillah, right? Specifically, also in our tefillah, it's not like we just walk around all day with our feet together. It's specifically in tefillah that we're doing that, right?
Well, when we say feet together and feet straight, it's synonymous, right?
I guess so. I mean, there is a straight feet, but I guess they're. Nah, I don't know. It's funny. It says, Raglehem, their feet, regel yeshara, is a straight foot. So I guess it means, like, when we have our feet together, it's as if we have one straight foot. Like, as if your feet are separated, so then it's not like a straight foot. It's like a singular straight foot. So the only way we could, like, so to speak, look like we have a singular straight foot is, I guess, if we put our feet together. Something like that. And that was kind of funny. Right, okay, got it. And okay, what else? What else? What do you think would be like a... See, these are hard questions, aren't they? Like, what does it mean Malachim have straight feet? And what are we trying to copy them, you know? Like, let's say we wanted to approach this in a... Perhaps a, you know, a more approachable manner. It would be like a... Maybe a first... A first pursuit, first approach that we could take before we start trying to get into Malachim, and, you know, which seems to be a hard topic.
Well, your mindset during Shimon Esrei, but that why it has to be different than...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. A little more directed than that. But yeah, that's a good approach. More specific question.
Yeah, behind straight feet.
Right. Exactly. It's like, well, forget Malachim for a second, but there's a halacha that when you daven, you have to have your feet together, right? So, like, if we kind of, again, not necessarily that we're going to totally forget that with them all together, the Malachim, but, like, what idea could we glean from the halacha of straight feet? Like, is it totally just because Malachim did it and therefore we do it, or is there some meaning to that, to the practice of having feet together, such that maybe the Malachim teach us that we should do it, or there's a further point, but could we just didn't understand the halacha of having your feet together during tefillah in a way which is less, you know, maybe less metaphorical or less metaphysical or whatever? You know, is there any plain interpretation to it? You know, it might just help us get our feet into the area. You know? Just to try to think about the problem or the issue of straight feet a little bit.
Maybe get back to the same idea as the Makom Kavua.
Okay.
And, the same reasons that we discussed for why you should have Makom Kavua is why you would have straight feet. Like, you plant yourself in your spot, your feet can't really move apart, so you just, you're focused.
Okay. Focus. And so you mean
not walk. Standing with your feet straight isn't really like the norm, you know?
Okay.
So, wow, you know, that's when your feet get tired as opposed to standing like just normally, and you have to like actually think about putting your feet together. Because naturally they're not like.
Right.
So that alone gets you, well, like the opposite, that alone makes you focus. But.
Right.
Maybe that's like. Like the whole idea of tefillah, it's not just teva, it's not normal.
Right, but by that measure, you could do a lot of funny positions, you know.
Right.
So, although it's true, it would be nice if we could kind of show, not just that this is unique and different and challenging or something like that, but that there's something about the particular, you know.
Well, maybe about, you have to, like, I guess focus, like Yala said.
Right.
To focus on it.
Uh-huh. And you're saying you're focused because you're not, like, walking around or something? Is that what you mean, Yala?
Yeah, sorry, I put the phone on mute.
That's okay.
What I meant is that by planting yourself in one spot, with your feet together, it's the same idea as having a Makom Kavua, where less distractions. You're not gonna walk around. You're not gonna be looking to all directions. You just, you know, facing one direction, not
right.
Going anywhere.
Right. I understand what you mean.
Also, when you put your feet together, like,
yes.
I know a lot of people like look down and make sure the feet are actually together, but like it's a conscious. It's a conscious statement that I'm ready to daven now.
Right. But again, I could ask the same question as before, no?
Right.
Okay, good. Good. Any other thoughts? I mean, we'll see what the Rashba says, but I think it's always good to, you know, try to get our feet, you know, try to get at least some basic thought, preliminary thoughts before we do the Rashba, you know? Okay, fine. So we'll do it. I mean, he says similar stuff, so you guys are on a good path. Okay. So it's interesting the way he does it is that before he even gets to the Malach, and this is the way he did it, and maybe it's a good point to learn his method in approaching a Chazal, before he gets to the dealing with the Malachim, he does this is what we just try to do. He kind of, he doesn't say this, but I'm putting words into his mouth. He's like, okay, forget Malachim for a little bit. Let's first just think about the halacha of your feet together and think what purpose that has insofar as tefillah. What does it teach us about tefillah? What idea about tefillah? Is it reflect? Whatever it is. And only after he does that, then he turns to talking about, you know, the Malachim thing. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if he holds that that's a good route in general. It just seems to me like it makes sense because, you know, it's a much more, like, grounded type of thinking than just, I think. I mean, in a certain sense it is, in a certain sense it isn't. I mean, it's open-ended because you're kind of making stuff up. On the other hand, Malachim is just a harder type of an area. You know, so you kind of reason from what you do know a little bit about to, and then see if you can move towards that which is a little harder to grasp, you know? It's always good in thinking is to try to, you know, deal with the givens or things that you have a better handle on and try to reason properly within those before you start going towards, you know, harder territory. Okay. So I'm going to read the Rashba. He says like this, Sha'alani echad min acholkim ala masenu. So one of the people who argued on our nation, apparently a guy, I think the Rashba had a number of dialogues with people who argued on the Torah. So one of them asked him the following, Matzorach v'kivan ha'raglayim eitzel tefillah. What's the purpose of davening with your feet together? U'maha rayel mispal b'yosam rekava yishara. And secondly, what's the proof? Because the merkava, the chariot, you know, the malachim, the chariot, they were straight. What kind of proof is that? Right? So apparently this guy, whoever it is, thought that this is a big question on the Torah or whatever, you know? What's the whole idea of keeping your feet together? Why are you doing that? It looks a little funny. Like, what's the point of it? And you say, "Kas malachim, and who are you?" I mean, you could kind of hear something. Well, you're not angels. What are you trying to do? What's the deal? Sounds like a strange, sounds strange, you know? I mean, I don't think it's exactly the biggest kasha that an anti, you know, someone against Torah could ask, but, you know, I guess it's a strange kind of halacha. So he says like this, Zos hoysa tshuvasi lo. So this was my answer then. Ki zeh l'shtei pinos gedolos. It's because of two important reasons upon which this is based. Ha'achas, firstly, ki nivru ba'adam evarim. A person is created with limbs. Shehem kliyim, that are kalim, okay, they're like utensils. Shebahem yishtamesh lahasig hanaos veharatzon, that with them he uses them to reach that which is pleasant and that which is desirable. Ulaharchik min hanezek, and he uses these limbs to distance himself from that which is harmful. And what are these kalim? What are these limbs? Shehem hayadayim veharaglayim. Those are your hands and your feet. Yadayim yafil the yikarev hanaos. With your hand you bring close that which is pleasant, v'yarchik hanezek, and distance that which is harmful. V'yischazek b'ahem la'amod b'fnei ha'oyev, v'mochamos b'ahem, and you strengthen yourself with them to stand before an enemy in war. Okay, so the hands basically help you get close, you know, get what you want and distance that which you don't want. V'yeser mehem araglayim, and even more so, the feet, she'yasib b'ham el ritzona, b'richuk makam b'mazman, you get close to that which you want very quickly. V'yivrach min ha'nezakim, she'em b'ham tachbulas also, and also if you're something which is going to attack you or harm you, which you have no way to fight against, so you can run away with your feet. Okay, so your hands and your feet, he's saying, are accomplished, are very productive for you in this world, in terms of getting what you want and avoiding what you don't want. Right, your hands and feet are basically your tools that allow you to do that. Right? I mean, a person who wouldn't have, if you wouldn't have hands and feet, you'd basically be very helpless in this world, right? Unless you can't do almost anything. So your hands and feet are what allow you to actually to get what you want and to get away from what you don't want. Okay, v'amispalel, so therefore what? V'amispalel lo titakein ha'tfilah j'yaktim l'nafsho. So when you daven, it's not appropriate to start davening until you first, you proceed in your mind, shantalaso v'nizko, that your salvation and your harm, v'hanoslo v'hefko, and that which is pleasant to you and the opposite, ein lo v'hem tachbula v'hasagasam, you have no method of plan or trick in reaching them, o b'bricha mehem, or to run away from them, zulasi im yazrenu hakel yisbach, but with God's help. The occult holy ritzon is all contingent on God's will. Okay? They're basically saying that you can't really accomplish. You can't really accomplish getting what you want with your hands and your feet. Or getting away from what you don't want with your hands and your feet alone. But it's totally with the help of God. And he's saying that's an important point to think before you daven. What does he mean? I mean, before we go further, what does he mean? I mean, why can't I get what I want with my hands off my feet? I mean, I'm a talented guy, I'm strong, and I'm fast, and whatever. Like, what does he mean by that? I mean, if I want an apple, and I go to the tree, and I pick it, and I put it in my mouth, and I eat it. Right? I mean, it seems like a bit of an exaggeration or something, no?
I mean, you could say the same thing about words, though. You know, just talking to someone doesn't always get you what you want either.
Right.
It's the God that might get you what you want.
Right.
That's right.
Right. So you're asking a question or an answer?
A question.
And the question is that what? That words don't help either?
Well, so that's the thing. So it's not specifically that actions don't help, but words do.
Right.
It's specifically that talking to God.
Right. Right, that's true.
That's the key.
Right. Right, I understand what you mean. You know what, let's read a little bit more of what he says, because I just want to see, let's just see where he's getting at. I mean, I think you're right, Miriam, but let's see what he says, and then we'll come back to that question. But I think that's a question, is what exactly does he mean that he can't get anything without God? So let's read a little further. In order to like have that, to really make that, sell yourself with that mindset, and to fix in your heart, in your soul, that that idea, you must, at the time of davening, to put your feet together. Lirmos, to hint, sheraglov asuros, that your feet are tied. Vinistalka mehem atenua, lirach minizakov, and motion is deprived from them, to run away from your the harms. V'lo lahasik el chafatzav, nor to reach that which you want, biltim yizra nisparach, but with God's help. So your feet, it's like your feet are tied up, and you need God to help you get what you want or avoid what you don't want. V'kacha yadayim, just like your hands, so to your hands. G'mosh amru, like the Chazal say, ploni, so-and-so, or rava, bi'idan ritcha, when God was angry at him, so to speak, at a time, I guess, of, let's say, of Esara or whatever, pachar yadei v'tzali. He would, like, clasp his hands together and daven. Okay, and he explains. He says, V'chein enag b'umos b'chukei mischan al-donav. In the nations of the world, if you look around, when a person begs his master, mechavin yadav mischan, and he puts his hands together and pleads. Right, v'kavanu mischan, that's exactly what they do. Right, if you imagine someone begging, right, you can picture, I mean, you can't see me, but you picture with your hands clasped together, you're begging, right, that's the begging position. Begging position is your hands are locked, your fingers are interlocked, right? Shema, why does a person beg like that? It's a funny way to beg. Right, shemara atzmo, because he's showing, ki'ilu yadav asuros, it's as if my hands are tied together, ve'in lo ezer, biltim yasig ritzono. And that only, I have no way, no help, but to appease my master, or to get in line with the will of my master. Right, that's the idea of begging. My hands are put together, I can't move them, I can't reach with them for things, I'm simply like, my hands are tied up. Right? Umimnei, so you see, sometimes people beg like that. Umimnei sheraglayim nezer b'hem yoser. And because of the fact that your feet are even more helpful, bevrach min hanezek, to run away from nezek, uverdof achar nos. If you want, you could close the door. Whatever, if you want. Since your feet are more helpful to run away from harm and to reach that which is pleasant, it's richul l'chavein osam mishas ha-tvila. So Chazal mechayev you to put them together at the time of tefillah, because this and that. He's saying it's really the same idea as your hands together. He's just saying is that since your feet are even more primary tools of reaching your desires, so therefore the halacha was only mechayev of you to put your feet together. It wasn't mechayev of you to put your hands together as well. Okay? But in theory, you see, Rava used to do that even. He used to put his hands together also. To lock, interlock his hands. Okay, so does someone want to summarize his point? Only one person. I can't have everybody doing it at the same time. Anyone? Okay, I guess I will. So, just to summarize, so what he's saying is that we must think in davening that no, I can't get what I want with my feet or with my hands. Ultimately, I can't do it. My hands and feet are powerless. Ultimately. But I need God's help, and that's why I'm davening to God. But it's a very nice idea, but you want to somehow internalize that idea. And sometimes doing actions help us internalize things. Right? Or taking on bodily positions help us bring certain ideas to mind. So what he's saying is, by tying up your feet, making them like tied together, your feet together, basically you can't move anywhere. Right? Like Kanda Arayala was point getting at. Can't go anywhere. But he's saying, it's not just that practically you can't go anywhere, but it's bringing to mind the fact that I really can't go anywhere in order to get what I need. And it doesn't matter that I can't go anywhere, because I don't need to get anywhere. I am where I need to be, because this is where ultimately where it's at. This is the where do I accomplish what I need? Primarily through asking of God to help me in my endeavors. And I don't need to go anywhere. Well, it's as if I'm tied up. As if I'm tied up. You with me? So, so now the question is, what does he mean that you can't get anything on your own? Could we get back to that? So Miriam, you were saying it doesn't mean through what the walking or hands or feet rep, but through speech, but it means but through God. But I mean, my question is why can't you get things with your hands and feet? I mean, can you get things with your hands and feet? I mean, can you really get stuff? Is it true that you really can't get anything with your hands and feet? What does he mean by that exactly?
Maybe it has to do with gaiva, like when we say kopivot miyabi esalei chayil and stuff.
Okay, good.
You shouldn't think that even if you are, you know, you have to put in ishtablos to get parnasa, and you have to put in ishtablos to prepare to cook a meal for yourself or whatever, but you shouldn't think that that everything that you've accomplished all due to your own actions, and that there's no corresponding actions required from God for you to have all these things.
Right. All right, okay, very good. Very good. Anyone else?
I mean, anything that you think that you can get with your hands and feet, you know, you can, but not always.
Okay, good.
Only way to guarantee that you're going to get it is if God wants to give it to you.
Okay.
And so you ask God.
Okay, good. 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 Okay, anyone else? Okay, so I think you guys are saying good. Just to elaborate, that there's, I think it gets down to a very, very important premise in tefillah, and we've probably talked about this a little bit. Maybe it was in that time this year you were talking about Kavias Makom, you know, Makom Kavua, you know that year, but But I think it's a very important idea in tefillah, and it's part of the reason why it's so hard for us to daven. Okay, is because a person often, or usually, overestimates their ability to get what they want, or to avoid, you know, to get away from what they don't want. Okay, a person has a tendency to do that. I mean, there are different states, and sometimes a person feels weak or a lack of confidence. But I think in general, there's a tendency on man's part to have a certain over reliance, like you said, like kolchiv otzim yadi, like a person over reliance on one's own strength or one's own ability. And when a person has success, there's a big danger. There's a big danger that a person feels that they did it. Look what I did. Right? Look what I did. And the person feels like they're able, because after all, we put all our time and energy in our life to really get what we want and to get away from what we don't want. I mean, what do in our lives? Everything we do, basically. I mean, whether it be what we want monetarily or family-wise or pleasure-wise, I mean, anything, learning, I mean, whatever we do ultimately can be boiled down to trying to get what we want and trying to get away from what we don't want, right? I mean, there's nothing else that we do in life, you know, other than that. And we basically feel, we spend all our time doing it, and we feel a certain degree of competence in doing it. And it yields results for the most part, to the degree that we have any success in life. It's based upon our own strivings with our hands and with our feet. Right? Pretty much. But a person forgets his impotence, his lack of power to really ultimately accomplish whatever it is, anything in life, outside, totally without like outside factors, fortuitous outside factors that work out in his favor. Whether it be landing a certain job. I mean, you may be talented and you may have a great degree, you know, a great degree and all that, but you may not get a good interview. And even if you get the interview, you may rub the interviewer wrong. And even if you do get it, maybe the firm's going to have to downsize. Or maybe in college you get the wrong professors and you don't learn the right things. Or a million things can happen, right? I mean, in any area in life, in finding the right spouse, I mean, there could be all different factors which could go into finding, you know, into every single aspect in your life, even in learning. I mean, even coming across the proper Rebbe or the proper Sefer or the proper whatever. I mean, a person could be on the wrong path and could never really gain. A person may not even get Torah. A person could have found Torah. A person could be, Baal Tshuva. I mean, it's factors out of your control. Even the fact that you're from in the first place is that you happen to be born. Either if you're born to a from family, or if you became from, you happen to, you know, bump into the right people at the right times. So, I mean, in anything in life, there are so many things which are out of our control, and we're so unable to ultimately ensure our success. So, on the one hand, we're obligated, and that's all we could do, is to do our best in trying to align, you know, to use our chachma and to properly evaluate, you know, the way to, so to speak, maximize the probability of being successful in all of our endeavors, you know, and that's life. That's what we're enjoined to do, and that's the proper way to live. But at the same time, we can't fall into the trap of overestimating our own abilities. And if we do overestimate our abilities, then tefillah doesn't really make any sense. That's what I need to turn to God for. I mean, if I really want to be successful, then I got to think about how I'm going to do it. What am I going to say to my boss when I go to work? What am I going to say to my spouse? What am I going to say to my child? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle myself in that situation? And we get lost in thinking about these things. And that's why oftentimes it's hard to daven. Because the person may even daven and they may be asking God for whatever it is they need. Let's say parnasa. And then they'll think, oh, that brings to mind. Yeah, parnasa. I have a good idea. I could get money by doing so and so and so and so. And then you end up realizing you get lost in thinking about that and you forget about davening. Next thing you know, davening's over or so, you know. Because it's like when we think about our needs, it's only natural for us to overestimate our ability to satisfy them, or we get start thinking about how we could do it, because we feel ultimately that's the way that we accomplish things in life. So we get lost in our own thinking about our issues when we daven, and our own ways of solving these issues. And the premise of tefillah is that we ultimately, yes, we try and we do our best, and we have to do our best, and hopefully we're successful in doing that. But we must realize how many things are out of our control, and those are the factors which we don't have control over. So what are we going to do about those factors? Well, what way can we possibly control the factors that are out of our hands? So there is one way, is turning to God. Turning to God and then tefillah, and we know God is a Shema tefillah. So a person has to realize that, yeah, they could get minimal, limited things in life, you know, certain small things you could do, but ultimately, your ability, your real success and failure in the world, if you were limited totally to things that you had 100% control over and you were solely responsible for it, minusing out all other chance factors, you'd realize you have very little. Very little that you can really attribute to your own, totally to your own success, without factors, you know, fortunate factors that worked in your favor. So as such, tefillah is an opportunity to reflect on that and to therefore turn to God and to beg and to ask for, you know. But we forget that. It's very easy to forget that reality because we're always involved in procuring our needs. So we lose sight of the ultimate effect of our inability. So somehow when we daven, it's important to turn on that switch that reminds us, wait a second, I am needy, and I can't really satisfy my needs ultimately, and I need help. And therefore I turn to God, the Creator, who is all-powerful, and who is a Shomei Tefillah, and who tells us that turn to Him and put Him in Mispalel, and God answers Tefillah, in order to help us with securing those needs. So we want to remind ourselves of that. So what it's saying is, what Chazal set up is that you lock your feet up. You know, you put your feet together and bring to mind that idea. I have nowhere to go. I normally, when I want to get stuff done, I walk around. People sometimes can't sit still because you have to go somewhere, do this, go this, do that, do that. You stand up, you walk around your room, you're doing always doing things because you're always trying to get this accomplished, that accomplished, that accomplished. You have to stop and realize you're not going anywhere. Where you are, where you need to be. You got to stop your three-toe, however, every day and stop what you're doing and say, this is where I need to be. If I want my stuff, I want things, tefillah is where it's at. I have nowhere else to go. My feet are tied off. It's like I'm begging. And the bodily position especially if you know the idea, could make an impact on you. You know, that's the attempt. That's the idea of the thing he's saying, is to remind the person of that idea. Question? Well, I have a question. Why don't you say you should do both, your hands and your feet? Right? See, Israel the Rosh was saying as well, since your feet are more primary insofar as getting what you want and what you don't want, so therefore that's what they demanded. But I mean, okay, fine, let's believe him that your feet are more primary. They kind of hear that. But, okay, so do both. Why is it either or? Shouldn't it be both? I mean, isn't that both my feet are unable to accomplish anything and my hands are unable to accomplish anything? So I should do both. Why settle at one and have to fight, figure out which one is more important? Just do both. Right?
I mean, there could be a lot of reasons to not put your hands together.
Okay.
I mean, you're holding a sitter.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, isn't putting your hands together like a very Christian thing to do? Or haven't they adopted that?
Perhaps. Maybe they got it from Rava. Could be they have the same idea. It doesn't seem like the Rosh was against it. Probably the people he was arguing with were Christians for the most part. But, I mean, it doesn't seem like he thinks it is. You got it?
What?
It doesn't seem like he thinks it is. I mean, he's not saying we do the feet because Christians do the hands. He doesn't say that, nor does he say because he has to hold the sitter, although I hear the point. But he says because the feet are more integral in so far as a person's getting their needs, so therefore we lock those, you know? It's almost like you just need to do one, so that's the best one to pick, you know? But my question is, why, like, you know what I mean? Like, why, it seems like a given that you only need to do one. And then he's saying, is that's the best one? But why, I'm asking, why is that a given? If you know, so I think the answer should be to say a separate answer, like those two answers. I think, although they may make sense, I don't think he's saying that. You follow me?
Right. My other thing is also, once your feet are together, your
yes.
feet are together.
Okay.
You're not moving your feet, and then you're not doing other things with your feet that you have to
okay.
specifically concentrate on putting your feet together. With your hands, you know, you can hold your hands together, then naturally you're just going to separate them. Right? So you're going to take away your focus and davening.
Right.
And concentrate too much on keeping your
hands
together.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that loses the whole idea.
But maybe that would be even more the idea, because then you realize, like, based on what you were saying, then you really have to pay attention to the position, and it'll be more meaningful to you. You know, the feet you almost forget about because.
Well, the feet are enough that you have the idea, but you can still focus on tefila itself.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I would counter with the same question as on the other two answers you said. Is that the Rashba doesn't seem to be saying that. He doesn't seem to be saying... He says the reason why hands over feet are because feet are more primary in this idea, he's saying, because they're more the tools of getting what you want than your hands. But my question is not really to show why your feet more than your hands, he explains that, but to say why is it a premise that you only need to do one? You know what I mean? Like, you're giving a different reason why feet are better than hands.
No, I'm saying why you wouldn't say hands also.
I know, but it doesn't seem to, like, he should say that. He should say that hands aren't really good because you're not going to be able to have kavana. He's not saying hands aren't good, he's just saying that feet are better. Feet are better because they're more primary way to reflect this idea. Sounds like hands would also be good, it's just that feet are better. And all you need to do is one. Let me ask you another question, which maybe will be a hint and will help us answer this question. Is why don't you actually have to tie up your feet, like with ropes? Like, if you really, the idea is you want to say you're tied up and you can't go anywhere, so really get ropes and chain yourself up. And, you know, I mean, your feet together don't really do that much. You could always just walk away. If you really want to, you know, to lock yourself up and not be able to get anywhere, then just do that. Right, but that sounds ridiculous, obviously, right? But what's why is it ridiculous? Besides for the impracticality of such a plan.
Well, if you try using rope, then, like, it's the implication that you're trapped. That you're being forced to be there.
Okay, but not if you tie them on yourself.
Psychologically, it still might be.
Okay, I hear you.
I don't know about anyone else, but I just had an image of, like, putting tefillin on your arm as being, like, a symbol of tying your arm. You're talking about rope.
Okay, but you're not exactly, you're tying the tefillin to your arm. You're not tying your arms together, you know?
Right.
And also, tefillin back in the day, intrinsically, is really a mitzvah to wear tefillin all the time. It's not just a davening thing, you know? It's just that nowadays
right.
we don't do that.
Right.
Okay, any other answers to that question? Okay, so maybe he means it's not pshat that you're actually tied down. It's like I have to really tie myself down and prevent me from walking anywhere. Right? Like force, you're forcing me to not move. The idea is to bring to mind a concept that ultimately my feet and hands are unable, and my own strivings can't ultimately accomplish what I need, and therefore I've turned to God. So it's the goal is not to lock yourself up. The goal is to bring to mind the concept. Okay? And that's why you don't need chains. Because the chains would be true if you really had to lock yourself up, but it's not very effective to just to keep your feet together. But since the goal is to bring to mind the idea, so then putting your feet together brings the idea to mind. Right? That brings the idea to mind. And also, that's why it's not necessary to do both. Because if you were really trying to tie yourself up, so then you have to do both, because then you'd be really tied up. You can't, you know, you're still able to do stuff with your hands. But since it's really to bring to mind the concept, it's sufficient to bring to mind the concept just by doing one of them. And they only say which one's better or which one's better, so you say pick the one that reflects the idea to a higher degree. But of course, your hands are also tied up. I mean, once you think your feet are tied up and you can't accomplish things with your feet, yeah, you can accomplish things with your hands also. It doesn't mean, if you realize the concept, because my feet ultimately aren't able, then of course, my feet are the ones that really are even more effective, and those are tied up. It's because the concept that in this world, I have very little control. So my hands are also, of course my hands are tied up, that's the idea. And once you have the idea, then your tefillah will have the proper kavana. You know, so it's not necessary to do both, because it's more just to bring to mind the concept. You follow me? Or how about like this? Do you have a question on what I'm saying? Okay. I'll assume that means you guys are good. Okay. Fine. So that's good. I mean, I think so far so good. I think this is a very important idea, which could hopefully help us in davening. You know, before we daven and put our feet together, maybe we could, think about it a little bit. It's kind of hard, because we're so used to doing it from the time we're kids that it's all automatic. You don't even stop to think, wait a second, why are my feet together? What, am I tied up? It's just, of course, how else are you going to daven? You know, it's like almost, right? It's like it just doesn't even make it's so synonymous with tefillah that, you know, feet together, tefillah. That, you know, it's you forget about the idea. But perhaps we could try to reflect on it, you know, when we put our feet together. Yeah, to bring to mind this concept, because it's a fundamental premise of tefillah, which is, to think about the premise of tefillah, that we are needy, and ultimately we can't, we have to realize our inability to independently satisfy our needs. Okay. So now he still has not explained malachim, right? That's what he has not done at all, right? So that's the next place to turn. I mean, once we have, I think that's a good method also, just in thinking, is once we understand some basic understanding of the thing, so now maybe if we can think about Malach and see if that helps us. You know? So does anyone want to attempt to, this is a harder one, but what does it mean, I guess, that Malachim have straight feet?
We always learn that Malach can only do one task at a time, like the three Malachim were sent to do three different things.
Okay, good.
Maybe that's part of the reason, the symbolic reason why a physical manifestation of a Malach would be one leg is because they have only one function.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so why would we want to do that?
Well, what's the actual job of Malach? Like, to carry out...
Okay, good. I guess... Yes, I guess so. Malach is like Malacha, from Malacha. So he does some Malacha. He's some sort of a messenger to carry out God's will.
So then it could be showing that...
Hello. Hi, how are you doing?
You want to push mute?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then.
I'm sorry. So, what were you saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to articulate what I want to say.
Okay.
Because if a Malach is doing something, right, then it's coming from God. God wants that to happen. But that's the only way that it's going to get done, right? There's no other way for whatever this that thing is to happen.
Right. Okay, good.
So by saying their feet together, we're saying that whatever we want to happen has to come from God.
Right.
Which is what the Malach also stands for. Because the Malach is symbolizing God's making it happen. No?
You mean we're showing that what we're... But what the Malach does is... You mean showing that what we do comes from God?
No, that what we're davening for.
Okay, so how does that... It's not an exact analogy then, no?
Well, it's not really an analogy as much as a continuation of the idea.
Right. Lisa?
Yeah?
You can press mute. Right, okay, so why don't we read what he says? Okay, I hear what you're saying, ma'am. Let me read what he says, okay? So he says, Od Pina Acharas. Okay, because there's some sort of, like, I guess we also have to get to the idea. There's just, I guess, perhaps what you're trying to get to is, like, what's the idea of comparing us to Malachim, right? What's the idea of comparing us to Malachim? Right, so he says, Od Pina Acharas, Shamin HaAnushi. So the mankind, Hakavana Bivriyaso, the intent in creating, in his creation, Lahakir Boro Yisbarach, Ula Romo, Ula Hodoslo, Shuhi Yisbarach Baro. So it's the intent is, God's intent in creating man, or in the Bria, it's clear the intent that man will recognize his creator, and to exalt him, and to be moda, to admit before him that God created him, Yeshmiayin Gamor, that he's totally from nothing, that God's the absolute creator. Lamod lefanav, to stand before God, lesharso, and to serve Him, v'lishmar derech mitzvosav, and to guard His the mitzvos. Right, and as man is created to recognize God and to serve Him. Sov davar, the in summary, hu malach, he's like a malach, musam ba'aretz, placed on the land, bertzon baro yisparach, in God's will, with God's will, kemo hamalachim elyonim. Shem's calling from them, just like the heavenly angels, which are like intelligences or forces of nature, whatever they are. Man is also a malach, because a malach just means someone who is sent by God to accomplish, to carry a certain mission. So he's saying man is sent by God to gain knowledge of God and to serve God, to do the mitzvos, to keep the Torah, Right? Man is a malach also. But lovesh malachus, and he's like, so to speak, he's wearing his messengership. Lavor ulahakir borisrach, to serve and to recognize God. The kacha yikra ovid hashalim. Kamran, and in fact, he says the ultimate Oved Hashem is called a malach, because the pasuk says, Kamran ki sifse kohen yishmeru das, because the lips of a kohen guard knowledge, v'torah yivakshu mefihu, and you should seek out Torah from his mouth, ki malach Hashem tzavakosu, because he's a malach Hashem. So you see, is the kohen, the person of Torah, who really has chachma, the who you seek out knowledge from him is called the malach. The pasuk openly calls him that, because he's a malach who carries out God's will. He brings knowledge to I guess a chacham, a kohen, brings knowledge to mankind from God. So that's his malacha. Bekacha devar b'seinu b'amar amalom malach yasharis. There's a gemara also. It says the malach yasharis told him. Amru ma malach yasharis. Who is malach yasharis? Rabbanon. So he's showing from a pasuk and from a gemara that the term malach sometimes refers to Totemi Vechavim, to Ovdei Hashem. See, a malach is not so much a type of a being as much as a description of a job, or of someone who is carrying out a certain mission, a mission of God. So it doesn't matter whether this being is a non-physical existence or is a person, Oved Hashem, or sometimes a psukim call like the wind, the malach. I mentioned this last time. This is also a malach of ruchos, the winds. God makes the winds is malach. Where it says God made Moshe Rabbeinu a malach and took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So malach just means a vehicle of God's will. So aren't the Jews or isn't man a vehicle of God's will? God's will is that mankind should have knowledge of God, and therefore people who are living a life of Torah and of Avodas Hashem are malachim in that regard. Okay, so you're saying the term malach could be a reference to man as well. Okay, so what? Let's keep going. Then he says like this. Is there a question on what he said so far? That's one part.
I mean, it's sort of a little contradictory.
Okay, good.
It takes away from the mindset.
Okay, well, so far he hasn't said why you're doing this. I mean, he hasn't answered his question yet. He's just setting down a point. I mean, the point is that man is carrying out God's will. I mean, he's not talking about that God, man is all capable and able to accomplish his will without any help. He's just saying, in fact, that man is supposed to be carrying out God's will. Right? I don't see why is it a contradiction.
I don't know, I just feel like...
A person could feel, like, empowered by thinking he's a malach, is that what you mean?
It's a little bit of an ego boost, which takes away from the whole, you know, you have to doubt
okay.
them to give them what you want. If that's what...
Okay, in a certain sense, I guess. But, I mean, a malach is, in a certain sense, a malach, I guess you feel like malach are like these heavenly things or whatever, but on the other hand, the malach is like a servant, is a messenger, is someone carrying out, is like not independent power. You know, but the idea is it's an actor for the master. But I hear what you're saying. There could be an emotional connotation like that, but that would be wrong. You know, like, if there is an idea, which we have to see how he develops it, then the fact that someone can misconstrue it perhaps isn't something we have to worry about, you know? Just we have to make sure we don't get the wrong idea. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see what he says. He says, V'dah... Now he wants to get to fine. So that talks about a little bit of malach. What about the feet? Right, the foot. He says, Daki milas regel mishutaf. The term regel is a homonymous, or it could be used in two meanings. Who's shame the kli tenua? It's the foot, what we call the foot. The kli, the tool of the limb which helps you move. Abo han raglo, me al raglo. Okay, quotes two second words using that mean. Who's shame lasiba? And it also means a cause. Sometimes regel means the cause. The regel ha-malacha means because of the malacha. Or vayvarach Hashem oschal ragli. Hashem, I think Yaakov told Lavan, that Hashem, or Lavan told Yaakov, that Hashem blessed you by my feet. It doesn't mean by my feet, it means l'ragli, because of me. Okay, it's the cause. Regel could be a cause. I guess perhaps because your foot is like the cause of your body, it holds you up, something like that. But he's showing the term regel sometimes means a foot and sometimes means a cause. Okay? Umizah v'raglem yagli yishara. This is what it means. When it says malachim have straight feet, it doesn't mean literally their foot, but it's referring to an idea. Kelomer shesibosehem yisharos. Their causes are straight. Masmidos. Permanent. Lo yisabu. They don't sway. They don't change. V'neshe'inon balei taiva. Tate osam v'tamshichon alitiyam anemes. Because they don't have taivas that will turn them and draw them away from truth. So a person has different raglayim, so to speak, two raglayim, has two different causes of his actions. He's sometimes caused to act by his mind, and sometimes he's caused to act by his taivas, by his yetzer, right? So his cause is doubly caused. He has two things that causes him to act, pulling him to act in two different directions. And but a malach doesn't have a taiva and doesn't have like free will. He's just moved by knowledge to follow the truth, and therefore it means that, so it means he has a straight feet, means that they're not in conflict. Okay, two feet would be mean they're conflicted, you're being torn in two different directions, but they have straight feet, it means that they are singly drawn to truth, singly drawn to truth with no conflicts, because that's what it means. And the malachim are beings with absolute knowledge, and the absolute knowledge makes them simply want to do the good, the truth, and that's it. That's what he's saying it means when it says malachim, have one foot. That's what it means. It means they're not like man, that they're conflicted, but they're singularly devoted to truth. Okay. Now he says like this, V'kocha mispalel, ve'is andol of me'ashem yisparach. When you daven, now he's getting to davening. So when you daven before God, you have to have the right mindset, v'ishirem el avodas yisparach, and to put them in, to think about avodas Hashem, the lazov darko machshavta, when you have to leave your normal thoughts, v'yikaven libo v'sibosel v'rotzon lo yisparach, and you have to singularly, singularly devote your heart and all your causes to rotzon Hashem. Okay, you have to singularly devote yourself to rotzon Hashem. Lehayir ki kol ma'aseinu, to bring to mind that all your actions, kachila v'shena v'apulos. And all your actions are called kolel kadesha tiana sibo sakim agof. All your physical actions are basically so that your body will be healthy. Vikiyam agof, and why do you want to keep your body healthy? Leo sibo lavaroso sharzo, so you're able to worship God, to serve God. So therefore, the person also should be singular in his in all that he does. Even though a person does pursue his physical needs, but ultimately the Oved Hashem is doing everything because it all centers around his Avodas Hashem. And he really shouldn't be dichotomized, but it should be singularly in pursuit of avoda. And that's why he says you put your feet together, because your feet are a reference to the causes. To bring to awaken, to bring to mind, that to bring to mind that your causes are straight and should be devoted to avodas Hashem, which that's what you're created for. Hu bishirosav, shirosav avodasav yashar. And your avodas, your service of God, it should be straight. Mizdame lios merkava. Trying to, of course, you can never be exactly because you're a person, but striving to be like the malachim. Shasivosem yisharos masmidos, whose causes are singular and straight. Tachsiv raglayim raglayim yashar. So he's saying the malachim actually have a singular cause because they don't have any conflict. But we do have conflict, but we in our lives should strive to be like the malachim, which is to singularly align our lives towards that one purpose of the Sashan. This, I think, that's all he says, but I think this demands more explanation. I mean, I'll kind of run through this quickly. But does someone have a particular question that maybe we could... I think I'd like to take this up a little more and elaborate on this next time. But is there a question that strikes any of you offhand that we could pursue, or should we just... Does this sound like it makes sense? Does it sound a little difficult? Does it sound good? Any comments? I mean, I know it was quick, perhaps. There's important ideas in here, though. Okay, so what don't we do is, why don't we leave it till next time? And, I don't know if we'll do this the entire time next time. I guess we'll see how long it takes. But I think it will be good to try to get, you know, to, it sounds a little weird. Something sounds a little strange about it. It's like we're trying to be Malachim. What's the whole punchline? Okay, is there a question? Okay, so I guess we'll shoot for next week, I guess. Okay, have a good night, everybody.
Okay, thank you.
You got it.